Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning are the final verses of the epistle, James, chapter 5, beginning verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. These are the words. In the name of Jesus Christ, through whom our prayers are heard, and in whom we stand forgiven, and in whom we wish to remain, fellow redeemed. I don't know what to do. I feel so helpless. Have you ever been at your wit's end? Have you ever been confronted with a string of difficult hardships or sicknesses where you get to the point where you feel as if you can only throw your hands up in the air and give up? In the closing words of the epistle of James, the Holy Spirit gives us exactly what we need in exactly those circumstances. He gives us godly direction. He turns our thoughts to prayer, to praise, to confession and absolution, and he also enables the Christ-like love of others. He gives us a simple approach worthy of our attention and of our emulation. He reminds us in the first place, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Perhaps it's the same with you as it is with me. In times of weakness, we act as if the Lord Jesus were far away. He has ascended into heaven. He's preparing a place for us. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead, but that does not mean that he is far away from us. He's as near to us as prayer. Moreover, he's present with us here this morning, according to his promise. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Especially when we're suffering hardship in our lives or misfortune. That is the perfect time to pray to the Lord and seek relief from him through our mediator, Jesus Christ. But you'll notice the Holy Spirit doesn't only give advice here for when things are difficult. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. I personally need this encouragement. Because when things go well, when I'm in a good mood, when I'm loving life, sitting on the beach in the sun, I don't find a lack of things to do. Unfortunately, one of the things I don't do at that time is sing praise to the Lord. Thank him for the beautiful day and the beautiful surroundings. But that's what I ought to do. For our thoughts are to center upon Jesus not only when the rain comes, but also in the sunshine and in the beauty. God grant us the grace to remember to sing praise to God at those times, in the sunshine and in the beautiful weather. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Let me ask you, what's your plan of action when you get sick? Suppose tomorrow morning, and I honestly hope this doesn't happen to you, suppose you wake up dizzy and nauseous. What do you do? Well, for many people, the thing to do would be to call the doctor, have an appointment, obtain his diagnosis, and perhaps a script or medication from him. Others would seek more natural remedies or food remedies. Still others simply seek to stay hydrated and let the sickness pass. Of course, each of these approaches can be beneficial. But what we ought to do first is take the matter to our Creator, to our Redeemer and our Sanctifier in prayer. And we might also want to bring it to our fellow believers, that they might pray to the Lord on our behalf and perhaps even be of aid to us while we are sick. In this case, the Spirit of God urged his readers to call for the elders of the church, or as we might put it today, call the pastor. It's part of the pastor's job, after all, to bring encouragement from God's word and to uplift. In the early days of the Christian church, many congregations had more than one pastor who managed the spiritual affairs of the congregation and taught the people. Of course, still today, God calls and sends pastors to serve in this way. So if you are ill or hospitalized, make a point of calling for the pastor. Don't assume that he knows or has heard from someone else that you're in the hospital. Give him a call so at the very least he can pray for you personally and encourage your fellow believers to do the same. The Lord wants your pastor to be there for you in your time of need, but he can't be if you don't let him know. What were the pastors in those days to do when called? Well, it says here they were to pray over or for the sick person. Because, of course, Jesus not only loves the individual prayers of his people, but he also loves to hear the prayers of a number of believers together, seeking his aid and comfort. As you well know, it's not the prayer that saves. It's the Lord who hears and who answers the prayer. You heard it in our Old Testament lesson. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. In those days, the elders or pastors were also to bring oil and to anoint the sick. Should the pastor bring oil today? Is this another sacrament or something? Am I asking too many questions? Let's take them one at a time. Is this a command that applies today? Should the pastor bring some olive oil when he comes to visit you in the hospital? No, it's not a command. It's not an imperative. We are not commanded here or anywhere else in Scripture to anoint people with oil, especially the sick. Was this a sacrament or something else? No. Anoint perhaps leaves the impression that this was a religious rite of some kind, even perhaps a sacramental procedure like baptism. But in point of fact, it wasn't a sacrament. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament is very specific. When someone is anointed in a special way, a very particular word is used. And that word's not used here. Even as we don't speak of anointing our engine with oil, but we put oil in it. So here, James isn't talking about anointing the sick with oil in some special way, but a common application of it. Except that it was to be done in the name of the Lord. Why oil the sick? Well, first of all, oil wasn't only used for cooking in those days, but also as an ointment. Maybe you remember the story that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. Remember what the Samaritan did for the man he found on the side of the road? He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So also here, oil was used in the same way. In the name of the Lord, to remind the person who was receiving the oil that it was the Lord who would in fact heal. Now it goes without saying that if a pastor comes to visit you in the hospital, He won't just talk about the weather and how you're feeling. Because your pastor is also to be concerned about your spiritual health. One of the things that troubles our spirits is our sins. And you notice that James continues to that very thing. Elders were not only encouraged to pray for and to anoint the sick, but they were also to see to their spiritual needs. You see, when a person has sinned, sometimes the conscience can be so troubled that it leads to physical sickness. David in Psalm 32 refers to this kind of thing when he says, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long." But the pastor isn't the only one that can speak to someone about God's forgiveness. For God's word here goes on to declare, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Our Heavenly Father most certainly wants us to confess our sins and to seek His forgiveness in His Son. In fact, in His Word, God warns us about trying to cover up our sins. Proverbs 28 says this, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." And so we too begin each and every day by confessing our sins to God, trusting that He, through Jesus' sacrifice, cleanses us of those sins. We might begin the day as Martin Luther did, by confessing his sins in his morning prayer, and close the day by confessing his sins in his evening prayer. It's also helpful sometimes, when we are personally troubled by our sins, to talk to a fellow Christian about it. To hear personally, "Jesus died to pay for your sins. They're forgiven." It's beneficial to confess our sins in a church service and to hear the pastor say our sins are forgiven. But it's especially comforting to be told personally, one-on-one, that your sins stand forgiven. The pastor's not the only one that can do that. You can do that as Christians, for you are priests before God. And when a fellow Christian comes to you and confesses that they are sorry for their sins and trust in Jesus for forgiveness, you too can say, "Your sins are forgiven." We're here assured the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, our prayers are heard and answered because God is our Father through faith in Jesus Christ. We have the ear of the Creator of heaven and earth when we pray. What a powerful blessing that is ours. The Apostle Paul once wrote that it was his earnest desire that all his countrymen, his fellow Jews, be saved. We want the same for all men, women, and children. And it should be our earnest desire and prayer that those who have forgotten or who have turned away from the truth be turned back to it. Even more than our prayer, we see here, that's to be our business. The closing words of the Epistle of James, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." You want to read those words one more time? "If anyone wanders from the truth and someone turns him back." It doesn't say, if anyone wanders from the truth and the pastor goes to him repeatedly and turns him back. Well, of course, that's the sober duty and desire of the pastor. The Holy Spirit speaks to every believer here using that all-inclusive word, someone. If someone, anyone, turns someone back to the Christian life and true teaching, that person, whoever they are, will have helped to save a soul from death eternal. In turning that person back to Jesus, to who has the authority and power to forgive sins, a multitude of sins are covered. May God grant us His grace and fill us with the love of Christ so that we know what to do and pray in trouble and sing praise to God when cheerful and call upon God's servants when sick and seek opportunity to comfort those who are troubled by their sins and seek to turn those who have turned away back to Jesus, back to the truth. To that end, may the Holy Spirit work mightily through us all. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.